Welcome back to the Judge Show. I'm your host, James Judge. Good evening, good afternoon, depending on when you're catching this show. Good morning if you're listening or watching the day after. Today, when we're recording this, at least, it's May 2023 in the year of our Lord. And we have a packed show for you today on episode 7 of the Judge Show. We're going to talk about a lot. Who is Jordan Neely and what we know about the 24-year-old Marine Corps hero who stopped him? Plus, a white supremacist shooter from Texas who's actually Mexican, according to the FBI. We'll tell you about that. Shocking ABC News and Washington Post poll has Trump crushing Biden by 7 points. Plus, PBS promotes LGBTQ propaganda. A nonprofit is calling for stripping their taxpayer funding. 8 people were mowed down in Texas. It is time to ban assault vehicles. We'll get into that. Plus, the Hilton in Nashville now offers toe-sucking as an optional amenity. Pete, might be something if you're into that sort of thing. Not sure.
Have to give it some thought. Never tried before.
Biden to replace Title 42 as thousands of immigrants prepare to storm the border. Airlines could be forced to compensate passengers for flight delays and cancellations. Plus, 4 killed, 20 wounded in Chicago's weekend killing Hunger Games ritual. Happy Days star leaves California citing liberal policies, out of control homelessness. Bud Light continues to spiral. Ukraine shoots down hypersonic missile with Patriot missile defense system. Richard Dreyfuss says Oscar diversity requirements make him want to vomit. And a New York man has made headlines after booking a trip to Sydney, Australia. We'll tell you why. All of that is ahead and more today on The Judge Show. Before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. Just kidding. We don't have any sponsors. But you can sponsor us if you're interested. Email judge@thejudgeshow.com. That's judge@thejudgeshow.com. Plus, if you want to listen to The Judge Show or watch The Judge Show, go to YouTube. You can catch us there. We're going to start uploading to Facebook and Rumble as well. And you can listen on any one of your favorite podcast platforms. That's iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn. I don't know. You name it. We're probably on that too. We should actually start a website called You Name It. YouNameIt.com. Unless it exists. I'm sure
I feel
it
like
exists.
Somebody
has to have had that idea, right? All right. Well, before we get into the show too much, Christy, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I had a full weekend. We went to a Rays game, and then on Saturday, my neighbor's son had his first communion, so we had brunch after that. Lots of good stuff this weekend. Lots of food.
I love Tropicana Field. Everybody else dogs Tropicana Field, but it's always sun, like 70 degrees and beautiful in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was nice. Yes.
How many people were there?
It was it was a Yankees game. I went to go see the Yankees. So I'm a Yankees fan I'm a Rays fan unless they're playing the Yankees. So I went to the Yankees game. It was full. It was fun. It was good.
Gotcha. Okay. Pete, how are we doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as usual.
What's new?
Not a whole lot is new in my life, Judge. You know, I just had a weekend and now I'm working again and we're going to do it all over. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. I hear that. Well, you light anybody up on Twitter or no?
Always. Yeah. I'm always doing it.
What's the latest spat that you've gotten in?
The latest spat. Well, Mehdi Hasan, you know, the journalist from, or so-called journalist from MSNBC. He said
MSLSD.
MSLSD. Yes, that's correct. He said, this is earlier today, actually. He said, here I quote the Bible and the Quran on MSNBC to make my point that the empty and cynical GOP refrain of only thoughts and prayers in response to mass shootings without any action is worthless in the eyes of God. Now, Mehdi Hasan is not a religious guy, right? So it's one of these situations where he's telling you, the Christian people, what you should believe,
right,
as an atheist. And so I replied with a meme from Memory TV. And if you guys haven't seen these memes, they're hilarious. You have to go watch them. It's an Arab news station. And the meme closed caption says, I advise you to leave the studio and go straight to a psychiatric hospital.
I like it. All right. So you're just battling Twitter wars.
A little inside baseball. You know, my life is
cool
about there. Yeah.
Well, we had an interesting weekend. Friday, we went out to the movies. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Did you?
Yeah.
It was
awesome. We went yesterday. Yeah, it was good.
It was super good. So check this out. Our cat, we live on 4 acres. We've got horses and cats and chickens and dogs. We got the whole,
farm.
Yeah.
the Judge Farm.
Old McDonald be pretty happy. we've got this menagerie of animals, and Bert, who happens to be our barn cat, one of our barn cats, his sole responsibility is to protect our property from rodents. And he does a really good job at it, which is partly why we felt, you know, he was injured on the job this weekend. So he took a bite from a water moccasin, presumably. We got back from Guardians of the Galaxy, and his whole paw was all swollen up. I posted on it on Facebook. Check it out if you go to my Facebook page. But what's really interesting is that Bert is named after Bert Macklin, FBI, which is, if you watched the show Parks and Rec, right, Chris Pratt, that's his character. So we're out in a Chris Pratt movie, and meanwhile, this cat who is named after Chris Pratt's character in Parks and Rec gets injured. We take him to the emergency hospital. You're going to appreciate this. We go into the emergency hospital, and inside of the, they take us to the back, and inside of the back, we ended up doing the whole treatment. I'll tell you what happens to the cat in a second. We look in this cage, and there's all these baby raccoons. And I was like, this is really weird, because not only did we just see this movie where a little rocket was, I'm not going to spoil the movie or anything else, but there's a scene where there's a lot of baby raccoons in a cage.
They are adorable.
Mm-hmm. And we saw these little baby raccoons in the cage literally hours after watching the movie. I'm like, this is really bizarre. So Bert Macklin, you know, he got the raccoons. It was just a weird deal. So anyways, we elected to do what is probably, they say that like, oh, well, you know, the data indicates that it's only 1% chance of better survival. But, I would say that that's because most people don't try to give cats antivenin. They're like, yeah, you know. But we did go with the antivenin. They shaved the cat. They made sure, you know, his paw and everything. They had to sedate him. And when they shaved him, you could see the two fang marks in his paw. And, I mean, it was huge. And we put him on a dose of antivenin. They held him overnight. And he is acting like a normal cat again. Pretty wild. Full recovery. Likely. We'll see. They got to check for anti-coagulation because apparently these that when you get bit by a viper, pit viper, it's anticoagulant. It causes your blood not to coagulate.
That happened to my dog.
Yeah, your dog was.
I got bit by a copperhead.
Really?
Yeah, and like it was Halloween night, and luckily I woke up at like 2 a.m, and he was acting. I mean, he was just out of it. You know, I could tell. I scooped him up and I took him to the vet, and he was like almost dead by the time he got there.
Wow.
But they hooked him up with the medicine, and literally 24 hours later, he was just like running around like nothing happened. Had no idea how close he was to death.
Well, and that's the thing, folks. If you live here in Florida, or if you live anywhere else in the United States for the most part, minus like Alaska, there are snakes. So watch out where your pets go. In this case, because he was injured on the job, I was like, this guy is a hero. I got to take care of Bert. We opted to do the treatment, and glad we did. Turned out positive. So anyways, pretty cool stuff. All right. Today on the Judge Show, let's get right into it. What do we got? Let's start with this nonprofit one. I'm going to read this real quick. A nonprofit organization that advocates for transparency in government is calling on the federal government to strip funding from the Public Broadcasting Service in response to the organization's promotion of an LGBT toolkit for teachers and critical race theory principals. Quote, PBS is clearly engaged in promoting inappropriate LGBTQ+ and critical race theory propaganda to our children. End quote, Citizens Defending Freedom Chief Communications Officer Kristen Huber said in a press release Thursday. We have had Kristen on the show before. Their LGBTQ agenda kit is clearly a partisan effort to brainwash teachers and students, sowing seeds of division and hatred in an environment that should seek to protect our children, not use them as political pawns. We're calling on the federal government to immediately strip PBS of its funding. American taxpayers should not be forced to fund a questionable curriculum for our children. So it goes on to say, ultimately, about 15% of PBS's revenue comes from the federal government. Plus, they get money from the state governments, all that stuff. But what's really wild is when you go on, and Pete, you looked into this somewhat, when you go onto their website, they've got this whole toolkit for educators that is pushing some pretty crazy stuff. Can you tell us about it a little bit?
Yeah, the stuff that they're pushing is absurd. It's, first of all, it's directed at students, but also it's directed at teachers so that teachers can teach students some of this stuff. And so I'll give you an example. There's a video resource for teachers. It's part of a professional development guide, and it's called All Oppression is Connected. And in this video, the woman who they interview, who's like a basically a black nationalist, says, if you line up all the people who are against the black people and all the people who are against the gay people and all the people who are against poor women or abortion, chances are they're related to each other. They know each other. And so therefore, it's the same enemy.
Strong language.
Yeah. On PBS.
Right.
Which and PBS is saying, this is what teachers should know in order to teach kids in a classroom. It's wild.
It is wild. And ever since PBS went with that whole, I wonder if I got the clip. They were promoting that the gay Sesame Street episode. Have we played that on the show or no?
I'm not sure.
I don't think we have. And I mean, PBS has gone really woke. Let me see if I can find this clip real quick. It's pretty it's shocking if I can pull this up. What else did you find in this deal? Was it besides all oppression being connected? They're pushing critical race theory and LGBTQ stuff.
Yeah, there's a video called Combating Homophobia and Transphobia, Real Time Tips. There's another one called How to Be an Ally, which is just, you know, I mean, it is exactly what it sounds like, right? And then there's another video that's like directly promoting males playing girls' sports called non-binary inclusion in sports. So it's pretty amazing stuff from PBS, man.
I mean, it's just crazy how woke they've gone. And I do have this clip that we're going to show here in a second. I just want to get to the spot where it is. Give me 1 second. Bear with me as I pull it up on the screen here. But this is wild. We're going to... All right, hold on. I think it's here. Bear with me. I'm going to bring the audio up, and then we're going to put it on... take this. Here we go. So this is... It's called The Not Too Late Show with Elmo and Not Too Late... Yeah, The Not Too Late Show with Elmo. Let me make sure there's volumes up a little bit here as we get ready to take it. And... You'll just see on this clip how disturbing it is. But this is on PBS. Your tax dollars, if you're an American citizen, if you pay taxes, if you're a law-abiding citizen, this is what your tax dollars are going to fund. So check it out.
Wow, it's uncanny. Ellen looked just like Jonathan Van Ness.
Cookie Monster, that is Jonathan Van Ness.
Right. Elmo, Cookie, are you ready to see my monster piece?
Ready, Jonathan!
Mama Bear, some runway music, please. Oh, yeah. People and monsters alike, a round of applause for the Not Too Late Show's newest monster, Alan.
So they've got this guy out there, and he's got little devil horns on. And look at all the children, like, in the audience.
Alan Monster is wearing the latest in high monster fashion with a set of sleek horns, fluffy, fuzzy fur, all topped off with a monster honker.
Yes, Alan!
How do you feel, Alan?
I feel like a monster. And I love it. Let's hear it one more time for our monster makeover.
I mean, they show the children clapping here. I just think it's kind of disturbing. You've got this, this blatantly... homosexual man that's out there, and they're promoting this just right in front of the children. They're all clapping along. It's, I don't know, it's messed up. That's where your money goes, PBS, and they'll put out this toolkit. So if you want it to stop, contact your legislators, preferably your congressmen, your senators, and tell them that you want it to stop. Or I just think we should be able to stop paying taxes. That should be the other option. What do you think, Pete? Christy?
Yep, all for it.
You guys into that? We just stop paying taxes?
Yeah, if we can get like 300 million people to do it, that'd be a pretty serious thing. But right. if just the three of us do it, we're all going to jail. So,
well, that's why they want those 78,000 new IRS agents to, you know, enforce that.
Right.
All right. What story you got for us? Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
All right.
So this is one that I thought was interesting. A war on appliances continues. I don't know if you guys remember the gas stoves that were being banned not too long ago. The Department of Energy says there are new limits as part of Biden's climate agenda, because that's what we need to be worrying about right now. The Department of Energy proposed a new appliance rules that would cut water and energy use limits for American dishwashers well below the current levels. It's about half. So the proposal would limit dishwashers to using 3.2 gallons of water per cycle, far below the current federal limit of 5 gallons. It goes on to say most dishwashers on the market today are already well below the federal standard of 5 gallons, using 3.5 per cycle or less. Dishwashers are not the only appliance, though, that Biden's DOE has on its sights. However, the regulator is also considering crackdowns on washers, dryers, refrigerators that manufacturers say would most definitely reduce performance. So if you are...
I have a real bugaboo about this.
Don't you love socialism? I mean, it's just great.
I like my appliances. I like the way they work. I don't want.
Well, let me tell you my bugaboo.
What's your bugaboo?
My house in North Carolina has a dishwasher that has to be like 20 years old. And this thing roars, man. This is before energy efficiency. It's before any of this nonsense. And it pours gallons and gallons of. And every single time the dishes come out, squeaky clean, like nothing left. Every time. Well, my new dishwasher here is one of these energy efficient deals.
Right.
I put the dishes in there and they come out and I got to wash them. Like, what's the point of this thing? Right. This is a bugaboo of mine. Energy efficiency has killed the dishwasher.
It was probably maybe 6 months ago I had to get a new dishwasher. I had one that was maybe 10 years old. It worked phenomenally. Like I really loved it. It worked really well. And I can't believe we're having a conversation about dishwashers, but I went to get a new one and I was being sold about this one has this. And I was like, I don't need any of that. Like, I just want my old dishwasher, just a new one that actually works, right. But it wasn't it. And they're like $1,000 now, which I was very frustrated with.
I don't like the fact that, all right, so we're complaining about appliances and household stuff here, that the government regulates how many gallons per minute that your shower can be. So if you buy a shower, like a faucet or a shower head or any of that, like whatever, all of it, they have like GPM regulators inside of it now that are federally mandated that you have to have. It can't exceed so many gallons per minute, that sort of thing. So if your shower pressure at home sucks, it's probably because of your local elected. I mean, your congressional official or one of those idiots that have passed this legislation and supported this legislation that bans that. It's crazy.
There's a loophole for this, which is just that you can leave your shower running all day if you want to.
I mean, yeah, you could. I just I think it's absurd that the government's involved in all that. All right. This is kind of interesting. Ukraine downs hypersonic Russian missile using Patriot defense system. It's the first time Kyiv has been known to intercept one of Moscow's most sophisticated weapons. The Ukrainian military shot down a hypersonic Russian missile over Kyiv using the newly acquired Patriot missile defense system, an Air Force commander confirmed on Saturday. It's the first time Ukraine has been known to intercept one of Moscow's most sophisticated weapons after receiving the long-sought American-made defense batteries from the U.S., Germany, and the Netherlands. What's interesting about this is a missile that flies 10 times the speed of sound. I don't think that was public knowledge that, that our Patriot missile defense system could actually shoot it down. So anyways, pretty cool stuff. I know that there's different views out there on what's going on in Ukraine. Not even commenting on all of that. I'm just commenting on, I think it's kind of cool that our missile defense system shot down that Russia's, you know, biggest, baddest, most incredible missile, which, you know, anyways, just a positive story there, I guess, out of a, you know, Pete, you're looking at me like I'm an evil person for reporting on some facts.
I'm just not a big Ukraine guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fake country.
It's definitely not a fake country, but that's okay. You want to cover this one?
Which one are we covering?
I don't know.
Chicago gay bars boycott Anheuser-Busch as brewer Sean Still. This is hilarious. Yeah, so now they're getting rocked from both sides, which is funny. So 5 Chicago gay bars are boycotting Anheuser-Busch for distancing itself from the transgender social media star Dylan Mulvaney. After his April 1st collaboration drew conservatives' ire and calls for a Bud Light boycott. So, I mean, we're pretty much, that's the whole story figured out here. You know that conservatives are boycotting Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, because of the tranny's appearance on the can. That cost them a bunch of money. So, finally, some executives came out last week and said, well, actually, like, we didn't mean it. I'm not exactly sure what they said. Like, what was their tactic for walking back the comments?
They're trying to say that it was a one-time deal. It wasn't a whole campaign, and the people that were involved are on leave. And I mean, it's a mess. But what's kind of hilarious about it is the irony that they were already like, I mean, their sales have plummeted like 25% Just absolutely tanking. Anheuser-Busch InBev is in full crisis mode. Clearly, they've hired a PR firm to, I mean, and we don't know who that is, but I'm guessing they've hired a PR firm and they're doing crisis comms. It's just, it's a little bit crazy, though, that all of a sudden now they're trying to back walk it back. And now the gay community is upset with them, which is even more hilarious.
Yeah, so now they're getting crushed by both sides. It's awesome to see that, because usually it's conservatives that are on the end of this.
Yeah, but the gay community makes up, like, what, 1% of the population? I mean, I know that today that more kids in high school
25%
claim.
25% of them.
That's what kids in high school claim, but they don't know what's going on. I mean, and that's just the reality of it. I was once a kid in high school. I can say I had no idea what the heck was going on with my life at the time. Never thought I was gay, thank God. But, you know, that's just the way it is.
At the Trop over the weekend, Bud Light was buy one, get one. And it was
at a baseball game?
Yeah. They're like $14 bucks a beer there. Like, it's $14 for a beer, right? And the Bud Light, and it was interesting, like, the group that we were in, like, our whole section was not family friendly. I'll just put it, there was no kids. Like, it's just, you know, the guys' beer here were calling out, tranny beers, buy one, get one. Like, they didn't even care. Yeah. So that was interesting. And Publix last week had them buy one, get one. Like, nobody can even get rid of this stuff.
I wonder if there's, like, a whole play here where just every single Democrat that's running for office this next cycle, we just put Bud Light logos next to them on their on the billboard, and just, you know, if you support this person, you support Bud Light and you're a part of this agenda. I think that it would kind of just, you know, I think we'd label it appropriately. Yeah,
like the scarlet letter for politicians. It's pretty hilarious.
All right, do that. What else? Tell me about this the white supremacist, Pete. Tell me about the white supremacist in Texas. Do you need me to set this up, or do you want this story?
Oh, I mean, got it.
Here, that's the printed version.
Paper people, man, I've got this all.
I like to print stuff out. That way, I can keep track of it.
I got it all right here on my computing machine.
Okay, tell us about it.
So here's what happened on Saturday. A man now identified as Mauricio Garcia pulled up to a outlet mall in Allen, Texas, and jumped out of his car and shot and killed 9 people. Now, first of all, we should note that the mall was a gun-free zone, so our shooter ignored that law, which I am shocked by, for one. The gun control crowd, of course, is still calling for guns to be banned. But the interesting part of this story is that in less than 24 hours after the shooting, internal leaks from the FBI, leaks that went to Washington Post, Rolling Stone, and a couple of other news outlets, say that Mauricio Garcia is actually a white nationalist. He's a pro-Nazi guy who was prone to posting white nationalist stuff on the internet. Of course, we've not seen any evidence of this.
The Mexican dude.
Yeah, the Mexican guy. So we have a Mexican white nationalist on our hands, according to documents that we have not seen, but that were supposedly came from the FBI that were given to certain left wing news outlets. So this on its face doesn't make sense. But of course, you know, we're going to have to believe this.
They did that with the whole Trayvon Martin thing when they said that George Zimmerman was a white Hispanic guy.
I'm friends with George Zimmerman on Facebook.
Are you really?
Yeah, fun fact.
No way. Mm-hmm. Anytime that they can try to make it fit their narrative, they're going to, you know.
Well, that's unbelievable. You know, the other unbelievable part about this is that within 24 hours, we apparently know the motive for this shooting. Oh, by the way, the victims were all white people. So go figure, right? But anyway.
So we know the motive for this one, though, but what happened about Vegas and what happened in Nashville and all that stuff?
My point exactly, right? So we're, what, 5-6 weeks out from the Nashville shooting that was conducted by a transgender person at a Christian school, and still there's no word on the motive? Yes, tranny.
Just a tranny.
A troon. A transsexual.
You don't have to call him transgender. It's just tranny.
It's a transvestite.
Yes.
Transsexual. Yeah, so still no word on that. That must be a real head scratcher. We can't figure it out. But Mexican guy kills a bunch of white people. He's a white nationalist. We know that in 24 hours. Amazing stuff going on here, guys.
Did you see the other thing that happened? Check this out in Texas. Another 8 people were killed or injured. Let's see, 8 people waiting at a bus stop in Texas, mm-hmm. Border City, were killed, and at least 10 others were injured early Sunday when an SUV rammed into them.
Yep.
The victims are believed to be immigrants. We're at a stop near a Catholic Charities facility in Brownsville, known as blah, blah, blah. Let's just scroll all the way down here. But the driver, a Hispanic male, probably also not here legally. Anyways. But he's a white Hispanic male, by the way.
There was a mass shooting.
We have to get rid of these assault vehicles. I think that there should be a nationwide ban on assault vehicles. We just can't have these things.
Yeah. There's a, well, 2 points. There was a mass shooting in Cleveland, Texas, too, also committed by a Hispanic male last week. It's in the same week, within the same 7 days. And so I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to notice a pattern here, which is... It's dangerous to notice patterns in 2023. You're not allowed to do that, really.
Well, it's racist. You're not allowed to have it's a hate fact.
Yeah.
Can't notice patterns. Can't. Yeah, it's totally racism.
Pattern recognition is racist these days. But so it's a perfect story for what's happening in Texas. Man, they've imported the third world, and what are you getting? The third world.
Right.
Go figure.
I do think that I'm gonna probably blow your mind here for a second. But I got to give a little bit of credit to the Biden administration. They're getting ready to essentially, of course, they won't just extend the Title 42 thing, but they're getting ready to implement their own version of it. So they are going to take some measure to, I'll read a little bit of this article. I think it's interesting. This was out of the Wall Street Journal. When he ran for president, Joe Biden promised to restore America's commitment to welcoming people fleeing persecution after Donald Trump spent 4 years restricting it. 2 years into his presidency, Mr. Biden is instead doing the opposite by crafting a new system designed to limit the waves of asylum seekers pressuring the southern border. Mr. Biden's reversal reflects a broader political shift. In the 3 years that the U.S. employed Title 42, the pandemic-era measure that made it possible to turn away people seeking asylum at the southern border, lawmakers in both parties have grown increasingly comfortable with the future in which the decades-long right to cross America's border to seek refuge from persecution is no longer sacrosanct. Once the public health measure ends on Thursday, Biden... his administration are planning to replace it with a new set of measures meant to mimic Title 42. So anyways, I'm not saying that it's going to be great. I doubt it. I mean, he hasn't done anything to enforce the border yet, but it looks like they are trying to do something. I think they're not trying hard enough, but we have to figure out something. This is a little bit crazy. We've got thousands and thousands of people that are waiting at the border to try to come in as soon as Title 42 expires.
Well, pretty important to note that none of these people are actually seeking asylum.
Right.
They're just here. Like, tell me who's persecuted. Like, can we get the stats on the people who are actually persecuted? And so what happens is, you know, consequentially, they give them a court date judge.
They never show up.
Right. For a judge to decide whether they're legitimately seeking asylum. And by that time, they're long gone. So the whole thing's a mess, man. This country's going to hell.
Christy, what else we got?
I was talking to Pete earlier today about an article, and I wish I would have printed it out, about a serial killer who came over during the Obama administration, and then they just placed him with a family member. And since then, he's been on like a killing spree. And I think he's like 21 now. He was a juvenile. I don't know.
What kind of cereal? Lucky Charms or
No,
Cinnamon
not
Toast
that
Crunch?
Kind.
Murder.
Like yes.
Salvadoran guy.
Interesting. MS-13?
Probably. I mean, it's one of the most dangerous countries on Earth.
All right. I'm going to save this story because we're going to probably spend a lot of time on that one. That's the Jordan Neely story. We'll come back to that. So if you're waiting for us to break down this Jordan Neely thing, which if you're not familiar with it, was the guy in the subway who was killed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Check out this. A stunning new ABC News Washington Post poll rolled out on Sunday contained nothing but bad news for President Joey B and good news for his potential 2024 opponent, Donald Trump. According to the survey, the president trails his predecessor by 7 points in a hypothetical 2024 general election matchup. That's unbelievable, dude. Trump is beating Biden by 7 points in an ABC News WashPo poll. You look like you want to comment. What?
Yeah, DeSantis bros are down bad. They're down real bad after this.
That's been their big argument, is they're saying that Trump's unelectable in the general. But right. This shows that, I mean, clearly there's a race here.
Biden's approval rating hit like a historic low. It was like 30%. Like it was lower than any other president at this point in his presidency. Just like last week, end of last week.
Well, I mean, he doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't bother him that his polling is that low.
Right.
I mean, he's just like strawberry ice cream, please.
Ice cream, yeah.
Exactly. Ice cream. Let's see. We'll talk about this briefly. A 24-year-old Chicago police officer was among four killed in separate attacks about an hour apart on the Lower West Side. Others were wounded. Four people have been killed, at least 20 others wounded in gun violence so far over the weekend in Chicago. This was reported, I think, by the Chicago Sun Tribune, Chicago Sun Times, or one of them, anyways. Let's see. Two men were killed in separate shootings in Inglewood. 27-year-old man who was putting groceries in his car. I mean, it's just crazy there. I made the headline earlier. We kind of sarcastically said in the Hunger Games style deal, but every weekend there's just these murders in Chicago. 15-year-old boy was wounded. It's tragic. And it's the media is going to, you know, Washington Post, they did like there's like 20 different articles about why the AR-15 has to be banned and how we have to ban guns. And they're never, ever talking about this, which happens every single weekend. You see headlines like that. Weekend gun violence, four killed, 20 wounded. They're not talking about that. They're talking about a white nationalist that's actually a Mexican.
Yeah.
Of course. It's unreal.
There's a lesson to be learned here, and that is do not become a police officer in a major metropolitan area. It is a lose-lose-lose situation. For $45,000, you're going to go put your life on the line, put a target on your back. And then if you come to a point where you do have to defend yourself and you shoot somebody, particularly a black person, you're going to end up the subject of national news at the very least. And at the very worst, you're going to end up like Derek Chauvin.
Right.
Do not become a police officer.
But this guy was no longer a police officer. But I mean, yeah, you're right. I think that's a totally separate issue, but you're totally right. I mean, I don't want to say that because we need good people to become police officers. So please disregard Pete.
Well,
do become a police officer. But Americans, it's time to stand up and fire the disgustingly terrible politicians that are creating a toxic work environment for police officers.
I don't think here's where I disagree. I don't think these cities deserve to have good police officers. I think we should just let them burn.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, I don't understand why any good person would want to subject themselves to so much risk. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's where I'm at with it.
Just let them deal with the consequences of their actions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, actions do have consequences. So I think that part is a fair, a fair assessment of what should transpire. But I also think that I'm grateful for law enforcement and for what they do. And I hope that, I don't know. I just hope that Americans will get smart, particularly those in the ghetto that keep voting for these idiots. I mean, that's really like that and urban white women. I'm going to eat it for this one.
Suburban white women. Yeah.
Suburban white women. Yes. And both, but suburban and urban white women that are in the cities, they're everywhere. They
have a white savior complex. They really do.
Go ahead.
No, they have
elaborate.
They have a white savior complex. They think that by voting Democrat, which is supposedly the compassionate way to vote, that the lives of black Americans are going to improve. And there is literally no historical evidence to suggest that that is the case at all. The lives of black Americans are getting worse in inner cities. They're becoming poorer. There's more drugs being dealt, so on and so forth.
People are getting killed.
Yes. Murders are at an all-time high. And these same women, they'll blame the guns. It's the gun's fault. It's the gun's fault. We're not teaching anybody any personal responsibility here.
Right.
We're just saying, oh, well, I'm a Democrat. I'm compassionate. I care about black people. And so, you know, I'm going to vote for the guy who says that he's going to give reparations, which is another story that we have.
Oh, you're supposed to, I don't have the one printed out, but we should talk about that.
I do.
You have it?
I have it in front of me.
We'll talk about that. In fact, get ready to read that one next. You know, we're going to get called racist for talking about this subject because, oh, how dare, you know, three white people sit around a room and talk about this. And Chris, I want your thoughts on this as well, if you want to interject. But it's a controversial subject. But I honestly, if you want to help the black community, we need to teach people to, one, for parents to stay together, for fathers to be in the households.
Yeah. That's it.
Literally giving people money for doing things that aren't appropriate, for encouraging bad behavior, rewarding bad behavior is not the right way to, no one benefits from that. Not the person you're trying to help. That's not the way to help somebody. It's infuriating. And they continually elect these people that promise them all sorts of stuff. And in the end up, I mean, when the whole George Floyd thing was going on, I had a black gentleman on the show, His name's Van Evangelo, great dude. And we talked about this at length, but it was just, and he, you know, he gets harassed by his family and his friends because of the fact they call him, you know, Uncle Tom, because he has more conservative values, that sort of thing. But it was unbelievable. It was like, look, at the end of the day, if you want to help the community out, instill good values. Keep parents in the home, you know, fathers in the home, fathers to actually guide the family in the right direction. I mean, go to church, learn about God, learn about positive values. Instead, our society is like, no, we're going to pay you to sit at home, pay you for every child that you have. We're going to incentivize you with public housing. I mean, and beyond that, we're going to tell you that your kids can be whatever they want to be today. If they want to be a male or female today, it's not what they're born. It's like, everything's so backwards in our society. Did you have something to say?
I mean, do you want my take? I agree with everything you're saying. And for the longest time, I'm raising three boys, and that's been the biggest component for me, is to start at home and to make sure that I'm raising my own children in the right way. But it's difficult when they start in school, and when they start, you know, your child is the, I guess, the epitome of like you and your husband when they're young. Ideally, right? And then they start going to school, and they're in the outside world, and they get all these other things and other opinions, and it's, I have two teenagers right now. It's really, really frustrating. That's all I can say. I was sharing an assignment that my oldest had in school recently. That was a writing assignment. It had nothing to do with anything, but it was all about standing up for Black rights and why the sports teams did things the way they did. And I could only see my son's answers. And I don't want to share too much of this because it was really frustrating to me. But it was a big eye opener that even though in my home I implement certain things, when the outside world has their hands on your children, it's so homeschool if you can. That's the lesson there. I don't know what else to say.
Right. It's, I don't know. We're not going to fix it overnight, but man, it's wild. Everything going on. What do you got about reparations? Educate us, Pete.
Yeah, California reparations panel that's been at this for a couple of years. They voted in favor of giving all Black California, this is in California. I don't know if I said that at the very beginning. They voted in favor of giving all Black Californians a formal apology for slavery and $1.2 million each in reparations.
Because of the color of their skin?
Yeah.
They just get, do they have to prove that they were from a slave family?
Well, there's a lot of questions about that, right? What happens if I'm half Black? Like, do I get $600,000? Instead, like, do we have to do this by DNA or what's the criteria? I'm not sure. I don't think they've considered this. What they have done is they've sent this to legislators. Basically, this is an outline. This is what we think should happen. Go create a bill that says this. And in California, I mean, it's dominated by liberal. I mean, this could very well become a law and get signed into law.
Oh.
So,
all right.
I mean, Californians need more taxes, like Custer needed more Indians. And that's what's going to happen, apparently.
All right. Next subject. And, you know, we weren't attacking all suburban white women, just the ones that vote for this crap.
I was attacking everybody but Christy.
I am in the room, yes, as a suburban white woman.
Oh man, we're gonna get beat up for this one, but that's okay. Let's see. Did you see this? This is unbelievable. So the Academy Awards, the Oscars, right? They put together this whole list of things that you have to do in order to achieve an Oscar now, or for a film to be eligible for an Oscar. Have you guys seen this?
Yes.
No.
Oh man. So to be considered for the most sought after award, films must meet certain requirements, including having an actor in a lead role. Be from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group, have at least 30% of the general ensemble cast be from at least two underrepresented groups, or the story must focus on LGBTQ people, women, disabled people, or a racial group. That's what you have to do to qualify for an Oscar these days. It's unbelievable. What do you think of these new inclusion standards for films? Richard Dreyfuss was asked during an interview with PBS's Firing Line. Quote, "They make me vomit," end quote, he replied.
I agree. It definitely threw up in my mouth a little bit hearing that. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. He says, "No one should be telling me as an artist that I have to give into the latest, most current idea of what morality is. What are we risking? Are we really risking hurting people's feelings? You can't legislate that. You have to let life be, and I'm sorry, I don't think that there is a minority or majority in the country that has to be catered to like that. The Academy and Golden Globe Award winner added. Oh, man. Anyways, just kind of funny. He actually even talks about this, which is, I'm sure he'll be called racist for this, but so Lawrence Oliver was the last white guy to play Othello, and he did it in 1965, and he did it in blackface. He played a black man brilliantly. He continued, am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man? Is someone else being told that if they're not Jewish, they shouldn't play the Merchant of Venice? Or are we that crazy? Do we know what that? I'm sorry. Do we not know that art is art? Question mark. Dreyfuss went on to call the move patronizing. Anyways, thought it was kind of an interesting thing.
I mean, we know Hollywood is woke. Like, we understand that. But I think it goes into something that I think is very evident for us. When you're hiring actors and actresses just simply based on
race,
not their acting skills, like, it's just the movies are going to go even further down.
When you hire somebody based on their race and their skin color, isn't that the definition of racism?
Sexual preference, like, yeah, like,
it's called racism and sexism, right?
So it's just not to me. Like, I haven't seen a movie. I haven't been to the movies in like years. So like, I don't even care about this story. Like, go make another big dumb shitty movie. Like, who cares? You know? That's my take.
All right. What else do we got here? Christy, you've got another one, right?
See if I can get through this with a straight face. A Hilton hotel guest says he woke up to the night manager sucking his toes.
That's great.
More throwing up in my mouth today. Police allege a sleeping hotel guest in Nashville, Tennessee, woke up to find the night manager sucking his toes. Suspect David Neal, 52, the manager of the Hilton in Nashville downtown, has been arrested and charged with aggravated burglary and assault. Nashville Metropolitan Police say the manager made a key card to gain access to the hotel room and entered around 5 a.m. on March 30th. The guest from Texas named Peter Brennan told police he woke up to find Neal sucking his toes.
There's more to this story.
He jumped up screaming. Brennan said he confronted Neal as he recognized him from one of the hotel employees who had entered his room the previous day to help fix his TV. In quotes, I could see he was wearing a uniform. He had his name tag on. He was talking to me, but not giving me any substantive answers. Then the Texas resident who was visiting Nashville for a conference Neal admitted to police entering the guest room, but claimed it was because he had smelled smoke and wanted to check in on the guest.
Guy had a fire on his toes and he had to put it out. You know, I mean, it was, it's ridiculous. It's a new amenity offered by the Hilton. You just, you know, when you go there, you just click whether or not you want your toes licked. It's a new service they offer. Extra pillows, high floor. Toes licked.
Nashville police are on it. They're not on the shooter's manifesto, but they're all over this one.
Well, you know, I mean, priorities, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I woke up to some random dude sucking my toes. What would be like, I don't know.
Weird is I was expecting it to be a female, but you know.
Yeah, I was too when I saw that. Yeah.
Then you read it and you're like, but I guess, I mean, it could be a dude that identifies as a female, right?
You never know these days.
Yeah, it's true.
Did the guest walk in like wearing sandals and he was waiting all night and then he made a key card? Like, what into this?
That's a good point. How did he pick these specific toes? Like, there's probably hundreds of sets of toes in this hotel.
There could be thousands.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's really wild. All right. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'll mention it real quick. They're looking at implementing the 14th Amendment or using the 14th Amendment to stave off this whole debt ceiling issue. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah, man, I'm not a big finance guy. I don't understand what they're trying to do. I don't even know what the debt ceiling is. And I'm comfortable saying that on this podcast.
Oh, man. Well, it's different than the budget. So it's what we're allowed to have as a country is national debt. And we have to keep raising it because we're not paying it off. And okay. So every year we have to keep raising it, but the Republicans and the Democrats are having an issue with whether or not they're going to agree on something.
Now I get it.
And Janet Yellen is demanding that we, she says it's a constitutional crisis, and she's suggesting the president rely on the 14th Amendment, which obscurely addresses the nation's debt. But anyways, it's really interesting. 14th didn't just end slavery. It also had a section saying, quote, the validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned, end quote. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. It'll be interesting if the White House does that. I mean, it'll be really overstepping their bounds and their powers.
So this is what Biden says. So then they weaponize it against Republicans, and they're like, well, we can't do X, Y, Z, you know, veterans health care, mental health care, because Republicans won't let us raise the debt ceiling, right? That's what's happening.
Right. Well, pretty much.
God, can't stand these people.
Yeah, me either. Let's see. We didn't talk about this one yet. You guys have other stories? You were going to get into one, Pete, right? Was there one?
My last one was the Jordan Neely story.
All right, we'll hold off on that then. I thought there was another one that you mentioned.
No, it was reparations.
Oh, yeah, we covered reparations. Okay, yeah. Christy, what
do you got? Happy Days star Scott Baio announces he's leaving California due to homelessness crisis and crime. I never watched any Happy Days. Although, when I first read this headline, the theme went in my head. Do you remember the theme? Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days. That might not be it. More singing. Sorry.
Was that in the right key?
Was it not? Happy Days, Saturday. That's probably not even the right words. Anyway, the Happy Days in the California Sun are over for this actor. Scott Baio, famous for playing Tchotchke on Happy Days, announced that he would be leaving the Golden State on Wednesday due to the state's out-of-control homelessness crisis. In quote, after 45 years, I'm making my way to... see? Happy Days. Happy Days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
I hate this song.
All right. Sorry.
Surprise. I don't think I've ever seen an episode, but that song, for some reason, I knew. Anyway, after 45 years, I'm making my way to finally exit stage right from California, the sitcom actor said, adding staggering statistics about homelessness in his tweet. The most recent survey conducted by the Los Angeles Homeless Service Authority found approximately 69,000 people experiencing homelessness in L.A., and 41,000 in the city in 2022. Baio shared in the tweet. And there's more, but I think the whole moral of the story is that more people are getting out.
It's weird how that works. You know, your crime goes up, homelessness goes up. I was thinking about this the other day. Even here, we've got some parks where there's a lot of homeless people, a lot of tents set up. Not like it was in D.C. or Minneapolis or, you know, San Francisco or any of these places. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, why would I, as a property owner, ever pay attention to zoning laws ever again? Like, if they're just going to allow tents to pop up wherever and for people to have structures wherever, why would I just build whatever I wanted to build and do whatever I wanted to do?
Right.
If they're going to allow that, like, if they're not going to enforce the laws in one area, which happened to be major fire hazards and, you know, all this other stuff, it's crazy. So anyway, all right, Tucker Carlson, apparently, he's preparing to unleash allies to attack Fox News. This is according to Axios. I don't know that Axios is that, you know, trustworthy. But Brian Friedman, the high-powered Hollywood lawyer Carlson retained for the contract dispute, told Axios, the idea that anyone is going to silence Tucker and prevent him from speaking to his audience is beyond preposterous, the attorney said. You know what else is interesting? He's been, like, there's been a lot of talk about him and Elon Musk doing something together. I don't know if you saw that story this weekend.
I did. I mean, look, they're not going to silence Tucker. Tucker's not going anywhere. The only question is, how much is Fox going to buy out for his contract, and what's going to happen next?
Right. This is all posturing for that.
Right.
All right. If you fly on an airplane and your flight is disrupted or canceled or delayed, you could get a check. That's what's going on, apparently. Officials say factors within carriers control drove increases in flight disruptions in recent years. The Biden administration intends to propose a new rule that would require airlines to compensate passengers when flight plans change drastically due to causes within the carrier's control, White House officials said. The rulemaking would require airlines to provide cash compensation in addition to refunds, similar to passenger protection measures required in the European Union when flights are canceled or passengers endure significant delays due to airline-caused disruption. would also require airlines to cover expenses such as overnight hotel accommodations and transportations during such significant flight disruptions, services many carriers already provide. Oh, great. Pete Buttigieg is involved in this. But, I mean, the airlines are already doing this. I feel like this is kind of a little bit of a PR stunt on, I mean, they're going to make it a rule, basically, that they're going to have to do this. I was on a flight from D.C. to Tampa, and they would not, my flight got canceled. I wasn't in Atlanta to make a, I was going to have to spend the night in Atlanta because there was weather, but because of weather, it's out of their control. So then they didn't have to give me a hotel room. So I ended up rerouting. I went to Minneapolis and stayed the night there. I got family there, and my wife's family's from there. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting that they're basically doing something that's already going to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's classic government moves. It's like take right. something that's already happening, make it a rule, and then claim victory.
Take
right.
credit.
Right.
I do this all the time. Did I ever tell you about the time I got into a, well, not a plane crash, but a plane I was on caught on fire?
Yes.
I tell the story. Story.
Yes. It's good.
Did I tell a story on the show or no?
No. Go ahead, tell it.
Okay, so this is tangentially related to what we're talking about here. I was on a plane from Atlanta to Raleigh, and we were up in the air for about like 35 minutes, and all of a sudden we started smelling smoke, and there were like little plumes of smoke in the cabin, and then one of the stewardesses like ran down the aisle with a fire extinguisher. Things got a little bit hectic there for a minute, and the pilot came over the thing, and he was like, yeah, we're having some technical difficulties. We're going to have to turn around and go to the airport. They zoomed us back to the air. I mean, we were on the ground. We had been up there for like 35 minutes, and we were on the ground in like probably 15 or 20. I mean, it was pretty crazy. And we got there, and they stopped us and, you know, ambulances and fire trucks and all that. And we slid down the slide, which was pretty cool. It was a fun experience.
You got to slide down the slide?
I did, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's pretty sweet, dude. Would recommend 100%. on the plane, though, I was a little worried, obviously. And there was a pilot next to me, like going to his next destination. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, like, are we going to be all right up here? And he looked at me, I swear to God. And he goes, probably. And I was like, dude, like, just lie to me.
Right.
Man, like, just tell me, yeah. If we crash and burn and die, like, I'm not going to hold it against you, you know?
Probably, huh?
So eventually we like, you know, we got off the plane, we get shuttled into the terminal, and like, and then some people refused to get on the next flight. Like, they wouldn't do it because they were so like, I figured like, what are the chances, you know, twice in a row, probably not very high. But then the most insulting part and how this relates to our story is when we were sitting in the airport waiting for them to get us another plane, we all got a $50 credit from Delta. Saying, sorry, your flight was delayed.
They gave you, not only did you get to slide down the slide, you got $50 for it. Yeah. What a day. What a
day. Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm looking at this in the wrong light.
Right, man. You got to stay optimistic and positive about things.
It's pretty wild. Engine of the plane caught on fire. That was what happened.
Aren't you supposed to leave all your stuff? But you went.
Yeah.
Pete doesn't follow directions.
No, they said that we had to leave all of our like bags and stuff on the plane, you know?
Right.
So we were going to slide down the slide.
So that MacBook Pro can burn?
Right. Well, exactly. But on my MacBook Pro at the time, I had like an almost nearly completed book that I had written.
Is this, you're going to try to plug your book on the show. You're going to tell everybody how you wrote the unauthorized biography of AOC?
I don't even remember if it was that book or the book I wrote before that, honestly.
Well, I mean, go ahead and plug both of them. Go ahead, tell them. Tell them, Pete. Where can they find these books that you've written?
You find them on Amazon.com or any major book retailer. Enemies, The Press versus the American People is my favorite of the two books I've written. But anyway, so I wasn't going to let that happen. So I picked up the backpack and I put it on my front. And I just went. And that's it. End of story.
Nice.
One of my stronger anecdotes.
All right. Well, you know, that's glad you survived. It's good. All right. Jordan Neely, tell us about it. You got 3 minutes, and we got to cover one last story.
I know we got a lot to talk about.
So go ahead,
man.
Set it up, and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll go.
All right. So Jordan Neely was on a subway train, acting in a menacing behavior towards passengers. One of the passengers took it upon himself. Poor guy happened to be an ex-Marine, and he also happened to be white, which is the issue. And he basically choked Jordan Neely out. And Jordan Neely later died. And so now there's a big debate surrounding, you know, whether he was murdered by this guy, whether this guy should be brought up on charges, so on and so forth. The crazy part of the story to me is that this guy, Jordan Neely, was known around town, apparently, in other years for being a Michael Jackson impersonator,
right,
like on the subway and stuff. And now they're like, lawmakers are literally like posting videos of him doing like Michael Jackson stuff.
Right.
Like as though it exonerates him of being a crazy person on the subway.
Right. Or the fact that he was arrested 42 times.
42 times and had an active warrant out for his arrest for like on an assault charge. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Marine was a hero.
Right.
Which I could get in trouble again. They banned me from Facebook last time. It really shot the show down. We had grown in a month and a half from zero followers to over 13,000 followers. And I called the Kyle Rittenhouse a hero. I said he'd be exonerated and he would walk, which he did ultimately. But this guy took down a dude who was violent, aggressive, and charging at other subway passengers. Mm-hmm. And now he held them until police could get there.
Yep.
And now the left is in it. They've got their panties in a wad. It's another George Floyd. They want to give this guy a nationally televised funeral. They want cities to burn. I mean, I honestly believe that the news is hyping it, too. Like ABC in New York, and all these, they're posting about constantly. Like, oh, now the family's saying that this latest, statement was an admission of guilt, and
right,
like they want people to riot and burn cities down.
They do, and there's already been riots. A bunch of Jordan Neely supporters like jumped down onto a subway track in New York City, preventing the subway from getting to the stop. One protester actually said, "We'll burn the city down if there's no justice," which is like, fine, your terms are acceptable. Like, let it burn, you know. But it's pretty wild. I mean, look, the guy who did this, his life's over. Never, ever, ever be a hero.
Oh, it's not true.
His life
I disagree.
Is over.
It's okay. The guy's a great guy. Pete's such a
don't
pacifist.
Be a police officer. Don't be a good Samaritan.
Don't do it. Simply don't do it. Actually, they told us that in law school.
That's the first problem. You went to law school. That's where you learn how to be a terrible person is in law school.
They said, do not be a good Samaritan. You will likely end up getting sued for like helping somebody the wrong way.
It is deterring though. I remember at the beach once and a girl, she was probably 5 or 6, was drowning and her parents weren't paying attention and there weren't lifeguards on duty. And Joe went out there to go get her and bring her back and was like, stay with me. I don't want anyone to like say... Like, because he's a big guy and this little right. girl, and he went and saved her. And I just remember thinking, like, it's sad the world we live in that you have to, like, even think of that. Like, you went and saved a kid from drowning, but same situation. Like, well, nobody wants to stand up.
I mean, look,
for fear of what would happen.
In that situation, I think it's okay because it's not like a racially motivated thing.
Yeah.
Right. If you ever try and do this, at the minimum, your name is going to be plastered all over the news. You're going to have to go into hiding like this guy is now. At the maximum, once again, you get the Chauvin treatment.
Right. So. It's ridiculous. You know what? Maybe if this guy would have been, I don't know, imprisoned because he's been arrested 42 times, he'd still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or, this is Alvin Bragg's fault. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ask me.
They say if he had gotten mental health help. It's like, yeah, I'm all for it. Reopen the asylums.
Right.
But they won't do that.
Right. All right, speaking of New York, this is our final story today. I figure you guys might like this one. New York resident Kingsley Burnett was anticipating his trip to Sydney, Australia. So you can likely guess his disappointment when he landed in Sydney, Montana after accidentally booking the wrong flight. Burnett recently shared this unexpected adventure with Storyful, revealing that after his trip to Australia was delayed in late January, he rebooked the flight, just not to the correct destination. At first, Burnett didn't notice his mistake. He departed New York's LaGuardia Airport on January 26 and landed in Billings, Montana. It was there that Burnett realized he wasn't making it to the land down under. Quote, I had to find out for myself that Billings, Montana would only take me to Sydney, Montana, where there are no kangaroos waiting to welcome Mr. Burnett, he told Storyful, according to Fox 5 News. Burnett went on to share that seeing the size of the plane was somewhat of a hint that he was flying to another country. I saw a little plane with 9 passengers and wondered, how is that going to get me to Australia? This poor guy. I mean, anyways.
I actually did that once.
No way.
I didn't get on the plane. I booked a flight and it was supposed to go to one area.
Is it supposed to go to Illinois?
It was in Idaho. And anyway... Long story short, a friend of mine was meeting me there. We were going at a convention, and she was like, are you, like, that's a weird, why do they have you laying over there? Anyway, and I caught it before I actually get on the plane, but it definitely was.
All right.
Mm-hmm. More blonde moments.
Well, this guy, apparently, now the world knows who he is because he wound up in Sydney, Montana, instead of Australia.
So how did he make it to actual Australia?
I don't know. He's supposed to go this summer,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, hasn't gone yet.
Well, hey. I think that about does it for us for today. If you haven't already done so, please like The Judge Show. Share it with your friends. Tell your friends about it. go to our website, thejudgeshow.com. If you want to sponsor The Judge Show, email judge@thejudgeshow.com. Listen, check us out on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere else. Till next time, we always say, love God, love your neighbors. And anything else, guys? That's it. That's the show. That's it. Sorry. Sorry if we disappointed.
All right.
Hey, have a blessed day. Till next time, live it up. We'll see you back here on Monday. Oops, wrong camera. There we go.